of the book of Ephesians and chapter 1. Ephesians and chapter 1. Okay? Now, what I thought I'd do, I just felt it necessary and felt compelled, I guess you could say, to do a message that really focused on honoring our Heavenly Father. I just couldn't imagine having Father's Day without mentioning the main Father. And we do have a Heavenly Father, do we not? And we are so grateful to Him. And what I thought I'd do is come to Ephesians 1 and focus on our Heavenly Father tonight in this study. And we'll try to stay primarily in Ephesians chapter 1. And we'll go ahead and read the verse 5, and then we'll have a word of prayer. And this is where we'll get our theme for tonight, and that is the adoption of children. There's verse 5. It says, having predestinated us, and the word predestinated means to predetermine, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful tonight for You. And Lord, where would we be if it wasn't for You? Lord, we'd truly still be in our sin, and we would have no hope without You. And Lord, on this Father's Day, we wanted to come tonight to honor You and to honor Your name and honor what You've done for us as our Heavenly Father. And we're so thankful that You loved us so. We can't explain that love, but we're thankful that You did love us so. And that, Lord, You are everything to us. And we pray that You'd be pleased with what I say this evening from Your book, and that these people will be pleased to worship You in spirit and in truth, as we focus on our King, on You tonight. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Now, our message is entitled, The Adoption of Children. And we'll look at three points in this message, in this adoption of children. Number one, we're going to look at the choice to adopt. The choice to adopt. Of course, when you have an adoption, there's someone that chooses to adopt, aren't they? Same thing spiritually. We're going to look at the choice to adopt. And number two, we'll look at the price to adopt. It costs money to adopt. And we'll look at the price to adopt. And then last of all, we'll look at the benefits of adoption. The choice to adopt, the price to adopt, and the benefits of adoption. We'll look at all of those things. So it says in verse 5 that He predestinated us unto the adoption of children. Predestinated means He predetermined. The choice to adopt you, who made the choice to adopt you? I'm just asking. Well, the Father did. The Father did. And that's how it is in adoption even down to the day. And I think that's why you have that word used in the Bible. Now, we're children by new birth, ain't we? The Lord, we've been born again. And the day we got saved, the Holy Spirit worked in our heart and He brought about a new birth. So we're born that way. And we're children of God by new birth. But we're also children of God by adoption. And always wondered why you had to have two words to show the two different ways of how we're God's children. We're God's children by new birth, but we're also God's children by adoption. Always wondered why did He have to throw adoption in there? Well, the reason why I feel that is, and I'm sure it's more than this, but the reason why I feel that is because in adoption, it's the parent that makes the choice. And I think that's what's emphasized in Ephesians 1. When we think about adoption, it is the people that's doing this, the parents that's doing the adopting that makes the choice of the adoption, do they not? And that's how this is presented here. If you would, look at Ephesians 1 and verse 4. Ephesians 1 and verse 4. I'm sorry, let's skip up to verse 3. It says, blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the word blessed is a call for praise. And he's calling upon them as a people to praise the Lord. And here's the reason. It says, blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's blessed us, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Now, the reason why we praise him is because of the spiritual blessings that he's blessed us with. Now, what he does in the rest of chapter 1 is he shows us what those blessings are. And one blessing that we're focusing on, we're not going to look at all those blessings, but we're going to look at one blessing particularly tonight for which we're honoring our Heavenly Father, and the blessing of being adopted. Isn't it a blessing to be adopted? Isn't it a blessing to be adopted, that to think that the Father adopted us as our children? It says that in verse 5, he predetermined, he predestinated us to the adoption of children. We've been adopted. And of course, there's other text in the New Testament that stresses the fact that we've been adopted. Now, why does it do that? That's because he's the one that made the choice in the adoption. That's who, in an adoption, it's the parents that chooses the child. Does everybody hear what I just said? Isn't that true? In an adoption, it's the parents that chooses the child. And I think that's why that distinction is there. Now, I want you to look down at verse 4 and see if that's not what this says. According as he, who's the he? Well, it's God. It refers right back up to verse 3. According as he, God, he's chosen us in him. He has chosen us in him. So he chose you. He chose Denver to adopt you is what he wants you to know here. See? He has chosen us. Now, Paul is talking about, in this text, this is an epistle written to the church of Ephesus. So when he says us, Paul is talking about himself. And he's also talking about the church of Ephesus. The church of Ephesus was a big old church, according to the book of Acts 20. They had several pastors. So it was probably a really good-sized church. So he says, you need to praise the Father because of the great spiritual blessing that he's bestowed upon us. And one of those spiritual blessings is he's adopted us. He's adopted us as his children. Now, when did he choose to adopt us? Does anybody know? Well, look at verse 4 tells you. According as he chose us in him, that's in Jesus, he did it before the foundation of the world. That's when he chose to adopt you. He made the decision to adopt you before the foundation of the world. Now, what's that mean, before the foundation of the world? That means before he ever created the world. Before he ever said, let there be light, and there was light, he chose you in him. That's when he made the decision. Here's what he's saying. He made the decision to adopt you, Mike Shamlin, before he ever said, let there be light. Does that bless you? That's true of everyone that's here tonight, that's born again. He made the choice, Stephen, to adopt you before the world ever began. That's what it says right there. Isn't that wonderful? Now, this is Father's Day, and I want you to know something tonight. I appreciate that, because if he hadn't done that, my friends, I would yet be in my sin, and so would you. Everybody see it? See everybody see it in verse 4? Now, is that because God seen something good in us? I want to show you a little something now. Turn to 1 Corinthians 1. No, I read a commentary. The guy said it wasn't because we was cute, cuddly little orphans that he chose us. We were monsters of iniquity. That's what we were. There was nothing in us that merited God choosing to adopt us. I can't explain why he did it, but he did. All right, now notice what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. He's talking to those here in the church of Corinth. And here's what he says to them. Notice verse 26. You see your calling, brethren. How that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Now look at verse 27. God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God hath chosen. Now when he's talking about God choosing, is that talking about people? Yeah, he's talking about the people he's adopting. What kind of people was he? It says, what kind of people was the people that God adopted, chose to adopt? It says he chose the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty. The base things of the world and the things which are despised hath God chosen. So it wasn't based on any good in you. It was just based on his own sovereign grace is what it's based on. Verse 30, I love verse 30. It says, of him are ye in Christ. In other words, the reason why you're in Christ is because of him. It's not because of you. It's because of him. The reason you're in Christ is because of him. He deserves the glory for that. Of him are ye in Christ. Verse 31, so he that glories, let him glory in the Lord. So he chose to adopt you. The choice to adopt was the Father's. And I'm telling you tonight that according to Ephesians 1, let's go back to the text. He made the choice to adopt you before the world ever began. Before he ever said, let there be light. He chose to adopt you. All God's people said. That's why the word adoption is used. I think that's the reason why he chooses it. Now, I'm sure there's other reasons. But that's one of the main reasons is to point the glory for the choice to the one that's doing the adopting. God chose to adopt you. He determined to do that. Now, I'm sorry. Would you keep your place in Ephesians 1? I want to show you something else. And I want you to keep your place here. And I want you to turn to Mark chapter 13. I want to show you something. Mark chapter 13. I want to get this nailed down here, and then I'm going to move on to the price to adopt. I'm just showing you the choice to adopt. And then we'll look at the price. Cost to adopt, doesn't it? Still does. But the greatest price to adopt was paid by God. To adopt you costed a lot, didn't it? He's willing to do that because he loved you. Can't explain that to you, but he did. Mark chapter 13. Now, there's many names used in the New Testament for God's people. God's people is called children, aren't they? That's what we're looking at now. We're children of God, adopted children, also children of a new birth. We're looking at the aspect of adoption. God's people is called saints, aren't they? And aren't God's people called saints? Isn't that just another title for God's people? But do you know another title for God's people that's used? They're called elect. Elect. And that's used, I wrote it down. If you got a concordance at home, you can look it up. The word elect is used 13 times in the New Testament. They're like in Romans 8, it says, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Does anybody know what the word elect means? Chosen. That's what it means. That's just another. Same as you use the word saint, you can use the word elect because it's just another word that refers to God's people. Why is God's people called the elect? Does anybody want to tell me? Because God chose them. All right, now I want to show you this. In Mark chapter 13, this deals with the second coming. And I want you to notice verse 26 and 27. It's going to show you the second coming, Jeff Sexton, right here. It's going to show you the second coming. And I want you to notice what God's people are called. Are you ready? Then shall they see, verse 26, the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. Did everybody see it? Are we waiting on that to happen? Yeah, that could happen tonight. You could hear that trumpet sound and the king could be coming tonight. Now, when Jesus comes, what's he going to do? What's one of the things he's going to do? He's going to gather all these people together, isn't he? Now, his people right now is in two different locations. Families divided. And we're here on earth. The rest of the family's in heaven. But one of these days, he's going to gather us together as one. Everybody with me? We all know that, don't we? But I want you to notice what it calls all God's people in this text. Are you ready? Let's look at 26 and 27 again. I want you to see this now. They shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. Notice it says they'll see it. When Jesus comes again, the rapture is not a secret rapture. That's unbiblical. People will know what's going on. They'll see it. It's going to be visible. It's going to be frightening for a lot of folks. Are you ready? Verse 27. There's what I want to bring you to. He shall send his angels. Are we going to be gathered by the angels? Yeah. Yeah. You remember in the Old Testament whenever Lot was in Sodom? Remember what God sent in there to get Lot out? He sent the angels, two angels in there to get him out of there. And that's just a picture. That's how it's going to be at the second coming. Are you still with me? Now look at verse 27. He shall send his angels and they shall gather together his elect. So there it uses the term elect to refer to all of God's people. Now notice what it says. They'll gather together his elect from the four winds. From the four winds. It's all four different directions. God's people is all over the earth, ain't they? So he's going to gather all of his people from the four winds. All four directions. North, south, east, and west. He's going to gather them all. His angels are going to gather them all. Everybody see it? All right. He'll send forth his angels. They'll gather together his elect from the four winds. From the uttermost part of the earth to where it's at. To the uttermost part of heaven. So you'll notice all the saved in heaven and all the saved on earth are going to be gathered together. Does everybody see it? Everybody agree with it? What's the call of God's people in that text? Calls them the elect. It means the chosen. And that goes with the name adopt. That goes with the benefit of adoption. The Father chose you. Not based on anything in you. He chose the foolish things of the world to confound the things of His mighty. That's what He said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Okay. So we're looking and we're glorifying our God this evening because He adopted us. We didn't deserve it. On Father's Day, I think we should glorify Him for our adoption and thank Him for it. And He deserves the honor for it because if it wasn't for Him, we'd still be in our sin. Number two. Now let's talk about the price to adopt. It costs to adopt, doesn't it? You know, to adopt me costs a great price. God just couldn't pay a dollar amount for me. To purchase me, He had to buy me out of the slave market of sin. And to buy me, He gave His own Son to buy me. Now, I appreciate that. I'm certainly not worthy of that. But I certainly do appreciate that, don't you? He gave His own Son to purchase me out of the slave market of sin. You're in the book of Ephesians. You can just turn back a page probably and go to Galatians chapter 4. And notice what it says in verse 4 and 5 and 6. Focuses on, again, adoption in this text. Uses the term adoption. Verse 4. When the fullness of the time came, God had a determined time when Jesus' ministry would start. Actually, it's Daniel's 70-week prophecy is what this is referring to. Don't want to get off on that. It's actually talking about that. God sent forth His Son, made of woman, made under the law. Now, the Lord had to do that to save us. Yeah, Jesus had to be born of woman in order to redeem us. And He had to be made under the law because everyone that's born is under the law. Notice what it says. Why did Jesus take flesh, verse 5, to redeem them, to pay the price for them? To redeem means to buy by the paying of a price. To buy me, God had to pay a price. To adopt me, God had to pay a price. Does everybody see it? You know He paid? Notice what it says. To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And of course, the adoption translations have the adoption of children. And that's the idea of it. The price of my adoption was His own blood. Was His own blood. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18 and 19. Let me read this text. Of course, here it talks about our redemption. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 18 and 19. You know what it cost to adopt me? The blood of Jesus. That's what it cost. The most expensive adoptions ever is ours. And God was willing to pay that for you. That blows me away, doesn't it? God was willing to pay that, Stephen, for you. To adopt you, that's what He's willing to pay. Think about it. God was willing to pay the price of His Son's blood to buy you out of the slave market of sin so He could adopt you as His child. That's phenomenal. That's why we're talking about it on Father's Day. He's the greatest Father, isn't He? No comparison, really, when you think about it, of what He done for us and the price He paid. 1 Peter chapter 1 says, verse 18, For as much as ye know, ye not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, received from your vain conversation by the tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ. It's precious. You know, sometimes the word precious is used to describe precious stones, something very costly and expensive. Nothing more costly than expensive is Jesus' blood. That's the price to adopt. To adopt me, it costed the blood of His Son. He had to pay the debt that I owed in order to adopt me, and He did. And that's what He paid. What is that song we used to sing here? Why did He love me so? That's what I don't understand. Why did He love me so? But He did. He chose to adopt you. And then He sent His Son to pay the price to adopt you. Let me read verse 20 while you're still in 1 Peter. Who verily was foreordained. It's talking about Jesus. He was foreordained before the foundation of the world. So before the world were forever, before He ever said, let there be light. That's when He chose to adopt you. And that's when He also chose to send His Son to pay the price to adopt you. That's why it says that Jesus was foreordained before the foundation of the world. That's when that price was, He determined to pay that. All the way back then. Calvary wasn't no accident. It was a plan. And that's when Jesus paid the price to adopt you. All right. Now, we'll close this out. And we'll talk about the benefits of adoption. Let's go back to Ephesians 1 now. The benefits of adoption. And of course, what the Lord does in adoption is He calls you. There's a day in your life when the Lord called you. And He opened your heart. And He drawed you to Himself. We talk about that all the time. John 6:44 says, no man can come to me except the Father which sent me draw him. He draws you to Him. And you realize you're lost. And you trust Jesus. And you trust Jesus as your Savior. And then you receive all these benefits. Now, is there great benefits to being adopted by the Heavenly Father? Oh, my. I want to show you what some of those benefits are. Now, one of the things that I'm going to do as I go down through these benefits here real quick, is you know who in history was really known for adoptions? The Romans. The Romans was known for adoption. And a lot of things I'm going to talk about, I'm going to refer back to Roman adoptions. Because Paul, he's the one that wrote of adoption in his epistle. Did it in Romans, did it in Galatians. He's the one that done all the writing about adoption. Okay? Under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Paul was a Roman. So he understood Roman adoption. So some of these things I'm going to bring up about a Roman adoption. Okay? You can look at the different, one of the Caesars were adopted, but one we particularly, sometimes we get them messed up, but Julius Caesar adopted Augustus Caesar. Remember Caesar Augustus, whenever Jesus was born? He was adopted by Julius Caesar. Nero was adopted. Another famous. You can look at different Caesars that were adopted. So let's look at the benefits. Number one, Ephesians chapter 1. It says in verse 7, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. When He adopts you and He calls you and saves your soul, He cancels all your debts. He pays all your debts. He forgives all your sins. That's what you see in verse 7. You receive the forgiveness of sins. And you know what happened? And this is really cool. If you were adopted, if a Roman ruler or somebody, usually it was rich people, and they were adopting somebody into their family, part of, they had a ceremony that they went through whenever they adopted you. But when they adopted you, you know what they did when they adopted? All your debts was canceled. I thought that was pretty cool. If you owed anything, all your debts was paid. And that's what the Lord does whenever He adopted you and He saved your soul. He canceled all your debts. The book of Romans chapter 4 says, blessed is he to whom the Lord will not impute sin. He doesn't charge your sin to you. He took your sin and He charges them all to Jesus. Every bit of them. And when you trusted Jesus, your debt is paid in full. Now, let me explain this real fast, because I don't want to spend a lot of time on this, because I've explained it to you in the past. And it's very important you understand this. When you become a Christian, you're adopted as a what? You're a child. You're a child by spiritual birth. You're a child by new birth. Everybody got me? You're a child of the King. And as far as your sin debt is concerned, it's paid in full. Romans 4 says, don't even charge your sin to you. He charged all your sin to Jesus. But often the question comes up, well, why do you confess your sin? Well, what are you after you get saved? You're a child, aren't you? And you have children, don't you? Many of you have children of your own, and they're your children by birth. Some folks have children here by adoption. But once you adopt them, and once they, whether they're by birth or by adoption, they're your children. And you know nothing changes that. And you know what children will do? They'll do that which is wrong. But does that cause them to cease to be children? The purpose of confessing your sin after you're saved, I want you to hear me, it's not to keep you saved. And if that's what's keeping you saved, you can never have any peace under that. Often people say, well, I hope I don't miss one. I want you to understand something. You will miss one. That's why Jesus had to pay for them all. The purpose of confession is to keep you in fellowship with Him. I use the illustration of you have a child. And since Jeremy ain't here tonight, I'll use him as this old illustration that I've used. I've used it over and over again. We took the kids skating one time, and he's just a little boy, and he wanted to buy some kind of ring over there at that roller skate rink. He wanted a ring, and those things were $1. Well, I had $5. Guess how many rings I wanted him to get? I wanted him to buy one ring. You know why I had $5? I bought me a pop every day up at work. So I had $1 a day to cover that. I'm just telling you the honest truth. I had $5 to get me a pop. And remember, I worked in a drum plant, and it was 100 and some degrees in there. So in the summertime, you wanted to have a pop at lunchtime. So I said, all right. He just kept aggravating. I said, go over and get you a ring. And he came back over here. And I was over here talking to some of the kids. He turned around, looked at me, and he held up his hand, had 5 rings on it. Which meant what he do to my hat, all $5 was going. I could have wrung his neck. I really could. It made me so mad. I said, I told you to get one ring. Now get in the car. And well, I took him home, you know. And, oh, I was hot at him. Can I ask you a question? He did what I told him not to do. Was he still my child? I'm asking. You know what he did? Come in the room where I said, he said, Daddy, I'm sorry I bought 5 rings. He repented of what he did. That restored the fellowship. You know, I was aggravated at him. There wasn't no sweet fellowship there. When he come in and he confessed what he did, and I said, well, you just don't do it again. And the fellowship was restored. That's how it is with your father. When you got saved, he became your father. You're not on a pay-as-you-go plan. We don't sing Jesus paid it half, do we? We sing Jesus paid it all. You confess your sins after you're saved to keep the fellowship close to the Lord. And that's why you need to confess your sins. Because it keeps you close. I confess them every day. So you not only sin by what you do, you sin by what you think. You also commit sins of omission, where you know to do good and do it not. It's a sin. There's so many things are sins. So he paid our price in full at Calvary. All of our debts has been canceled. Jesus paid it all. Number two, we're also an immediate heir. Not only is all of our debts being canceled, but we are an immediate heir. Notice what it says in Ephesians 1 and verse 11, in whom we have obtained an inheritance. So not only has all of our debts been canceled, but we are an immediate heir. When a Roman adopted a child, they were an immediate heir to their empire. Immediately. And that same thing is true of us. That's another idea of adoption. If you was a baby, certainly you would inherit, would you? Everything. You might get it later on down the line when you reach a certain age. But the idea of adoption is you was immediately an heir. We sing the song, I'm a Child of the King. And one part of that song says you're an heir to a mansion, a robe, and a crown. Remember? You're an immediate heir to that. So that's a benefit of being adopted. That's a tremendous possession. God's people are rich people. May not be rich financially, but we are certainly rich spiritually. If you're a child of the King, if you've been adopted into His family, then you're an heir. All your debts is canceled, and you're an immediate heir to His kingdom. I just mentioned the next one, chapter 3 and the verse 15. It says, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. When you are adopted, you're brought into His family. You're a family member. You're a child of the King. You're a son of God. You're a daughter of God. You're a child of God. You're an heir to His kingdom. All your debts has been canceled. And you're in the family. That's why we call each other's brother and sister. We have the same Heavenly Father. We've all been adopted by the King. Brothers and sisters in Christ. Part of the same family. We're going to spend eternity together, folks. We're going to spend eternity together. Number four. Almost done. Number four. An adoption was irreversible. And it was, I thought this was really cool. And I can't remember the name of it. But in Roman law, if you was adopted, you couldn't be unadopted. It was irreversible. Once it happened, Roman law protected you. A person couldn't come back and say, I don't want Eddie Lovejoy. Put him back. You know, I adopted him, but now he didn't pan out. Or Hollis, he didn't pan out. I don't want him no more. I don't want to unadopt him. There wasn't no unadopting under Roman law. You know what? God don't unadopt you either. Sometimes you're not what you should be. And He'll whip you like does He whip His children? Yeah, but Hebrews 12 says He corrects His children, but He don't unadopt you. He don't unadopt you. He's done paid the price for you, and there's no returns. There's no returns. He don't throw you back, Brother Tolley. It's not going to change. Your adoption is never going to change. It's irreversible. In Ephesians 1, it says, let's go ahead and begin reading it, verse 13 and 14. It says, in whom we have trusted after that you heard the word of the truth, the gospel, in whom after you believed the gospel, you're sealed with the Holy Spirit. It means the Holy Spirit took possession of you. Seals the mark of ownership. So the Holy Spirit took up possession of your body. That means you belong to God. Put His seal on you. So He put His mark on you. You belong to Him. Okay? So you're sealed with, Jacob, you're sealed with the Holy Spirit. That's His mark. That means you belong to God, see? He has ownership of you. He bought and paid for you. You're His child. He adopted, He paid the price. You're adopted by Him, and He seals you with the Holy Spirit. Now it says in verse 14, the Holy Spirit is an earnest. Everybody see the word earnest? Does anybody know what an earnest is? Huh? It's a down payment. You ever heard the term earnest money? You go to purchase a car and you want that car to be yours. You pay a what down on it? You pay an earnest on it. You pay a down payment on it. You know what that? Do you really know what earnest money is? It's a guarantee that car is going to be yours. And he's not going to sell it to nobody else. Earnest money. God give you a guarantee with your salvation. You know what that guarantee is? Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit took up possession of you the day that He adopted, the day you got saved. The day He called you to His adoption. See? And it's irreversible. It's guaranteed. Now it says in this text, He's the earnest of our, He's a guarantee of your inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. Now what's a purchased possession? It's something been purchased. That you're the, you are the purchased possession. And the Holy Spirit took up possession of you. And He gave you the Holy Spirit. And He's the guarantee that you're going to get your inheritance. So your inheritance came with a guarantee. And that guarantee, that earnest, is the Holy Spirit Himself. That means He keeps you. And He's going to make sure you get what He's promised you. It's all of Him. And He's not going to call you into this and then change His mind and then adopt you. It's irreversible. And He give you a guarantee the day He saves you. And that guarantee of your future inheritance is the Holy Spirit. Isn't that awesome when you think about it? So your salvation comes even, or your adoption even is guaranteed. You got a guaranteed inheritance. We are a purchased possession. And we got an inheritance. Because we're God's children, we've been adopted. He's going to give us an inheritance on a new earth. Well, there'll be no sickness and sorrow and death and suffering and sin. All the junk you see going on here now, there won't be none of that there. Do I really believe that? Absolutely. Look what Peter said, there's going to come a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness. And who did that for us? The Father. What's this day? It's Father's Day. You can always celebrate Father's Day when you're saved. And celebrate your Heavenly Father. Celebrate what He did for you. He chose to adopt you. He paid a great price to adopt you. And great benefits come to those who are adopted. He cancels all your debts. He makes you an heir to His kingdom. He brings you into a new family. And He doesn't ever unadopt you. He's going to carry you on home to your inheritance one day. All God's people say, let's all stand.